So again, the whole seminar was called Five Core Steps to Building a Duplicating Network Marketing Team. And of course, that's exactly what all of us want. We want to have a team of people that it's self-duplicating, because that's what makes it something that really is truly leverage. If you're out there constantly having to have to babysit everybody and stoke them and all that kind of things, you really don't have a duplicating network marketing team. You have one that requires 100% of your attention, nurture, and you've never got out of the nurturing stage to move on to the other layers of leadership that are required. And of course, we know we have that great book that we've been reading about the layers of leadership, and that's a great one that all of us should have in our library and should be using and growing from. But it's also about us taking the proper steps to get there. You know, we need to be in action, and so we'll talk a little bit about that today. The first hour of Dale's seminar, probably hour and 15 of this two-hour-plus ordeal, didn't even really get into the five core steps to building a duplicating network marketing. But he gave so much good information. I want to jump in and talk about some of the nuggets that came out of that first hour. He talked prolifically about the network marketing industry, what's going on, what's happening out there. And so I'm just going to give you some of that feedback, because I think it's really interesting and it can help you in terms of growing and learning. Number one, he talked about, you know, the things that are irritating him about network marketing. He's watched network marketing change over the years, over the last 30 years, and he's kind of suggesting that we're really creating our own problems for ourselves, and we're diminishing the industry. We're causing, even though it's growing and growing and growing, our reputation is taking serious hits, because one of the things that's happening is, you know, that he has a great disdain for, as do I, is that, you know, we tend to be robbing other companies of their top recruiters. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. In fact, the interesting thing is I just received this past week an invitation to go visit another company. No kidding, they're going to fly me out there and interview me, and I was like, you know, we're talking about all their products and things like that, and I was really ecstatic to be able to stand in my position and really talk about, hey, you know, this is the problem with our industry, that, you know, I've been with Manatech for 19 years. I found a company and I found a product line that I totally believe in, so for me to show such dishonoring or disloyalty towards Manatech would take something far greater than Mary Jo just making that decision, because it would be contrary to my persona, you know, and it's destructive of our industry, because if we just keep recycling the same networkers from company to company, we keep putting other companies out of business, and it, you know, and it's just a troublesome thing that people think that this is the way to do network marketing, is find all the serious networkers and try to rape them from other companies. And that's one of the things he talked about. And the other problem is that, you know, how we're overselling network marketing sometimes, when he hates the advertisements out there that kind of go, we do 80% of the work, you just get to keep the check. I mean, that's garbage. That's just stuff you don't want to be involved in. You don't want to be suggesting that all you need to do is get, you know, one or two people and I'll do all the rest of the work and you'll become a millionaire. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense that we all know is false. But it's out there, right? We see it from time to time in different companies. And so he says we got to start cleaning up our and regulating our own industry. He also talked about four steps to learning. And these four steps to learning came from Tom Hopkins. Of course, he's a great, super sales guy, right? I mean, he has every book out there you could possibly want to read about selling, how to become a super salesman, blah, 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 blah. But and his four levels are really terrific, because I read them and I go, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we get stuck in network marketing. And so let me just review those briefly with you. Tom talks about this, the concept of how we need to develop skills. You know, and you and I and all of us on this call know there's a basic skill set to doing network marketing. And four core are the most crucial. And we've ignored them too long, and for many of us, and we need to just spend some time and effort to become experts at each of the four core skills. When you become an expert at the four core skills, this business will just be like water off a duck's back for you. But we make it so hard because we overlook the basic four core skills. And that's why we put so much emphasis on them today. In every one of our trainings, we train them. And it's about us going out and each and every one of us, because we can't possibly train this in 10 minutes. It's something that you learn by reading books and making an investment of your time and energy into really developing the skill. And what Tom Copkins says, he says there's four basic levels, you know, of learning, of competency. The first level is called the unconscious incompetent. And that's where people do things whether they know or don't know what they're doing. They just do it to do it. And I think there are a lot of network marketers that do that. They start prospecting without knowing anything. And they just think, well, I just can talk to people. And nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. I mean, there, you can say, well, some people are natural salespeople. And I go, yeah, they might be. But even natural salesmen don't really typically do very well in this business. They might take off like a bat out of you know what, but they collapse 3 months later or 6 months later because they're not really developing the skills in network marketing. It's not just about going out there and making a fast sale, right? So we call it the unconscious incompetent. And you know, we should, an interesting concept around unconscious incompetent is the idea that through our entire lives, we should be experiencing level one. We should be experiencing being an unconscious incompetent. And why is that true? Because we should have an interest in trying new things. And anytime we try something new, our first level is unconscious incompetent. And that's when we strive and step out to teach and learn and get good coaching and get good, read good books so that we can become more competent. So, but the first step is unconscious incompetent, and most of you probably aren't at that level with network marketing because you've gotten some training. But another aspect is a lot of people go out and get tons of training, but they aren't educable. And that's one of the reasons why when we talk about the characteristics of people we approach to go in business with, one of the main characteristics we look for, are they trainable? Are they teachable? Because if they're not teachable, they're going to stay lingering in some of these early levels, competent or even conscious incompetent, right? So really important for us to develop the skills. And there are plenty of books out there to read about all of these different, especially the four core skills. And I challenge every one of you around your four core skills. Make sure that you feel that you've hit level four that we're going to get to in those four core skills. So the second, and we can compare that to something as simple as like reflexive as driving a car. When you were first, you know, when you first were turned, when you're 15 and you wanted to learn how to drive a car and you go out there and you start doing driving lessons and your parents take you out, you are definitely unconscious and incompetent, right? I mean, you have no clue what it takes to drive a car. And then you start developing some expertise. But assuming today you have a driver's license, you probably don't drive today as you did when you first had your learner's permit, right? You really are at a level four, and that gives you an idea because driving just is second nature. It becomes an unconscious state. It's that easy. You don't even think about it because you know it that well. You navigate your lights. You navigate the local area. You turn on your blinkers, all the things that you – it's unconscious to you, right? So that gives you an idea of how these four levels operate. So level one, unconscious incompetent. Right out of the box, you sign somebody up new. That's exactly where they are if they don't get training, if they don't get education. The second is the conscious incompetent, and that's really more of a state of awareness. It's a state of awareness that, you know what, I don't know how to contact and invite. I don't know how to do a presentation. I don't know how to close people. It's a conscious incompetence. You vaguely know that there's a certain something out there. In other words, you know that it exists, but you don't know much about it. So you know that it's a knowledge of I know that I don't know. So now you're conscious of what you don't know. So that you and some people just barrel through anyway. But the reality is if you know that you don't know, why not gain the knowledge first so you can be competent with it? And that, again, goes with reading great books, going to trainings, getting some good coaching, some mentoring out there. Being on my Monday call is a mechanism of mentoring where you can learn things and grow from that. So it's a conscious incompetence. The third level becomes the conscious competent. You're busy reading, watching, studying the experts. You're picking up new information as you go along, and so you really are starting to learn. you consciously are becoming competent. You're trying new things. You're learning what works, what doesn't work, right? As we go out and prospect, how many times have you experimented with different language? I mean, I know I did that right out of the box. I used to tell people, I think I told you guys this story before. I used to tell people who said no to me, you know, well, Major, I don't really think this is something I want to do. And I go, that's proof that you need Ambertose because your brain can't even recognize how much you need this. You know, and I would use that language. You think that worked? No, not at all. But I was conscious, competent. I was a communicator, but I was experimenting with different things. I was experimenting with different techniques to use to be persuasive with people, to help people see that they desperately needed the product or the business model to achieve the dreams in their life. So I was a conscious, competent, but I was still not unconscious competent, which is the fourth level. And that's truly a level of mastery where, you know, and I feel somewhat that way today through most of these things. You know, when I'm going out in public and I meet somebody, I'm totally unconscious. I don't have to think about what I need to say. It just comes out. I just go love on people, get to know them, introduce myself, but spend most of the time, my focus is on them, asking them questions. They ask me a question, I answer, and then go right back to them. I find out about their life, what they're doing, what's going on for them, and then eventually something comes out. And then I get to apply my standard approach, which is basically, you know what, Sarah, it has been a delight meeting you today. And I came across a breakthrough scientific discovery that really has made a difference in the health of all my family members, and it might be something that really is a solution for what you're talking about. If you're interested, I'd love to share that with you. So it's that simple. Or if it's a financial issue, I can jump right into that and say, wow, you know, I'm in that place right now where I really get to live the life of my dreams because I came across an entrepreneurial opportunity a number of years back. And, I mean, it has presented me with everything beyond my wildest dreams. And I'd love to share that with you because it sounds like that's something you're looking for. You know, whatever that is, but it comes out. I don't have to think about what I'm saying. The words just flow. And sometimes they're a little different than other times, but it's basically because the person came from a different place. But that's where you want to get, right? You want to get into the place of being unconscious competent. But you need to review, where am I today? And the reality is I talk about being at level 4, but I really still am at level 3 because I still grow every day. I still look at myself as being, hey, I still want to grow. I want to learn more. How can I improve, fine-tune? No matter where I am, I always know that there's another level that I can get to. But your goal is that you're so knowledgeable and experienced that it all becomes a natural process. And I don't know how many of you feel that way, but this is a great time for you to take those four core skills that we talk about all the time, you know, building the contact list, contact and invite, doing a presentation, STP, and then follow up and close. And just rank yourself on a level of 1 through 4. Where are you on each of those four core skills? And then put in a plan. How am I going to raise that level, right? Perfect. Okay, the next thing he talked about was practice perfectly. Don't settle for second best. And this was a fun concept because a lot of you like to go out and you'll practice, you'll do role playing and things like that. But notice his comment. Perfect practice makes perfect. In other words, sometimes when we're practicing these things, we have a group party or something when we're doing things. I mean, we don't get really precise. We don't try to be the absolute best we can be. We just play or toy with the concepts. So come from a demand on yourself to be perfect. Will we ever get there? I'm suggesting that we can vie for perfection our whole life and never reach it. But the idea is that we work towards always that's the goal, and we keep our eyes on being perfect. And one of the comments that he says, because he said, if you're doing it wrong, it doesn't matter how much you're practicing, you're going to keep doing it wrong. So you want to make sure it's right. He says, most people in network marketing, they have 15 years of experience. They say, oh, I have 15 years of experience. When in reality, they have 1 year of experience that they've repeated for 15 years. That was eye-opening for me because I think there are a lot of people out there that are just exactly there. They have 1 year of experience because they first year in network marketing, they decided they knew it all, and now they've just been doing it the same way for 14 more years, so or 15 more years. So it's not 15 years experience, it's one Does that make sense to you guys? That really, and that's why we need to keep green and growing and keep working to improve. He also talked about his Sony Walkman, and some of you don't even know what that is because we got a lot of people that are millennials on this call. I don't think it was even around until it probably disappeared before you were born. But the idea that it was a way to be able to plug something in your ears and listen to something all day long, and that's what he did. He was a fanatic. Dale Calvert was a fanatic. He listened to audio cassettes as he worked for 5 years straight. He said he listened to 2,500 hours per year was his rate that he listened. That's pretty incredible, 25 hours per year. And he listened while driving, while eating lunch, while working. He listened to builders in his own company, and we know we have that through the Success Magazine. We have all those incredible CDs I listen to every morning when I work out from 6 to 6:15 to about 6:45 to 7:00, 7 o'clock. I always am listening to those CDs. They're excellent, and they keep feeding your brain all the time. And he listened to other company stories. He listened to masters from other companies. Not that he was interested in joining another company, but everybody has their stories. He can learn from everyone. He got awareness of the industry like never before. It drove his passion, kind of like the master's tapes. In Manitech, he used to have a set of master tapes, I know, and this led me to kind of send a message to Al about, hey, maybe we should develop some of this as well, of our stories. All self-made successful people think the same way, is what Calvert says. He says, you listen to Og Mandino, Earl Nightingale, Jim Rohn, Napoleon Hill. The truth is the truth, whether you like it, believe it, or accept it. The truth is the truth. And apply the wisdom of the ages. And that's what you need to do that's what we need to do in our lives. And he said, people talk about the pain of changing, that it's painful to change. And it drives him crazy when people use this terminology. He says, when people complain about it, and he says, it's just nuts. He says, what, you love your life so much exactly the way it is right now? I mean, if you think you're in the perfect place in your life, then hang out. If you think you've accomplished everything there is to accomplish in your life, if you think there's no further contribution you can make in this world, but I don't think there's one person on the face of the earth that's there. As I always tell people, I'll know when I arrived, when I'm, up in heaven with my Lord and Savior. That's when I would have arrived. But until that time, who knows? I don't. But until that time happens, I still have so much to give and so much to learn, and I'm going to spend my life doing that. So we want to keep growing and learning, and change is what's required for us to grow, right? One of the major impacts on Dale's life was when he heard the statement, and how many times have we heard this? But how many times have we really listened to it and really got it? Rather, that he said, would you rather earn 1% on 100 people's efforts or 100% of your own efforts? And that made an incredible difference for him. That just, I mean, he was 1,000% in by just understanding the principle of leverage, and that's what that is. It's the principle of leverage stated in a different way. He also made the comment, don't get upset about things you can't control. You can only control your own actions, right? So when other things happen, I know people get upset. Manitech changes the comp plan. There's a new product. They discontinued one of the products, blah, blah, blah. People get all wrapped up about it. And I just kind of go, you know what? Next. Those are things we can't control. And if we allow our emotions and give power over our emotional state to other people, where does that leave us? We're like a blade of grass in the wind that anyone can control. Don't let anyone steal your emotions in your emotional base. That's totally in your own control. But when we give it away, then we become drama masters, right? We allow the world to control us, and that's the worst possible. How many of you know drama queens or drama kings in your life? How many of you have them in your downline? Yeah, they're everywhere. But that's what happens. They just become, instead of just going, oh, that changed, how do I change now? Next, how do I take that change and incorporate it into my business and make sure it works? And then network marketing must be about developing leaders. We all have the same product. What is our product in network marketing? It's people. It's people. So we all have the same product, and it's people. So the better we can develop our skills in working with people, dealing with people, leading people, interacting with people, I mean, and I believe, because of my spiritual base, that that's the whole purpose I'm here on earth to do, is to build relationships with people. So no better place to be than in the network marketing industry, which is all about relationships. All right, so that's just kind of that isn't even his five core step training. But you can probably see a lot of the reasons why. Sorry, I don't really have a cold, people. I'm just dry throat. So down a little crayon flush. Okay, so those are just kind of the layout foundational things that he had plenty more. Those are just the ones that concepts that really struck me and hit home for me personally. So I'm sharing those with all of you. The five core steps to building a duplicating network marketing team are as follows. Number one, systematically help your team member identify their why. Now, we've talked about the why 100 times. As I was going through this training over the weekend, I took some time off and was focusing and kind of just swishing it like a taste of wine in your mouth. You know, I was swishing this through my brain, and I was thinking to myself, how many of my people in my organization really have their why? And I really feel remiss myself. And so I'm just raising that question for all of you. Number one, first, do you have your why? Do you solidly know your why? And if not, then the minute you get off this call, spend the rest of the day figuring that out. And don't ever sell yourself short. Ever, because anything is possible. So the idea is to conquer that. And number two, the idea is to make sure everyone who's on your team has that core foundation base. And the why is, you know, some people describe it as the top three reasons. Some people have developed what's called a 20-reason sheet, and you can find that. It was developed for a company called New Creation, but you can just change that word and put Manatech in there. It's found at mlmhelp.com/reasons. But whatever, and Manatech's got their materials as well, and I've put out many materials out there about finding your why. So there's plenty of materials out there. If you need more, you can go back probably in one of my prior trainings. But the why is not I want more money, because the idea behind money is it's just dirty paper. So you really can't focus on money. You have to focus on what is that money going to produce for you, because that's what's going to drive you. There's no personal relationship with money that exists that's gonna allow you to overcome all the many obstacles that you come when you get involved in entrepreneurial businesses like Manatech. So you need to have that why. You need to be really crystal clear on your why. And can your why change? Yes, your why can change. Why? Because you can achieve the why. And then you build something bigger for yourself. That's one of the reasons we used to talk about the why being, if you had unlimited income and unlimited time, what would your life look like? Is that a good way to find a why? Yeah, that's a great way to find your big why, the big reason. If you had unlimited income and unlimited time, what would you be doing with your life today? And just sit back and dream. And some of you are stuck without, because you just your belief system's so shoddy, you can't even dream anymore. So you got to build on your belief system. You got to start focusing on how do I build the magic of believing, the power of believing. There are 101 great books out there. I'll suggest to you, for those of you who are that kind of stuck around the belief issue, I want you to go and listen to that Earl Nightingale piece on YouTube. It's The Strangest Secret, the best motivational video on the net. That's what it's called. The Strangest Secret, Best Motivational Video on the Net. Earl Nightingale. Just go on YouTube and look up Earl Nightingale. You'll find it. And it's 30 minutes, so anyone can listen through it. But it's awesome. And what's the secret? We become what we think about. We become what we think about. So if we alter our minds, we can alter our results. If we can revert, why do we work so hard on positive thinking? The power of positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale. Why do we work on all these principles? Why are these 100, 200-year-old principles, 5,000-year-old principles still valid today? Because they're all truthful. And if you want to come from a spiritual perspective, just look up Mark 9:23. All things are possible for those who believe. It's about what are we feeding our mind? Our belief system is that's what we're doing. What's in our mind? What do we believe we can? If you believe, and remember that famous quote from Ford, Henry Ford? He said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're always going to be right. How powerful is that? What does that tell you? Our belief system is determinative of our life. So it's important for us to know that. So we want to put into our system, into our heads, our why. Now, one of the things on this 20 reasons sheet that came out for me, which I think might be a great way of, you know, you can tackle the big picture of what you view your life when you're 100% financially free. You have unlimited resources, unlimited time. You could do whatever you choose to do. You can build that as your huge why. But what's beautiful about the 20 reasons sheet is it talks about each step of your process. When you get the regional director, now that doesn't what this says. This talks about somebody else's business, you know, new creation. I don't even know what that is. But ours would be something like when you get the regional director, you're going to be able to pay for all your own products, right? All that kind of stuff. So what happens at national director for you when you start making $600 to $1,000 extra on a monthly basis? What happens? How is that going to change your life? And you go, what are you going to do with that money? So now there's your why to hit national. And then you get to executive director where you're making like $2,000, $1,500 to, I think it was the range is $1,500 to as much as $4,000 if you get close to presidential, right? I mean, but $20,000 in volume, you're making at least $1,500, $1,800, something like that. How is that going to change your life every 4 weeks? Or break it down even more, I'm going to have to have an extra $400 to $500 a week coming into my life. How is that going to change my life? What am I going to do differently? And work down the reasons why you want to get to that. And then you get to presidential director and you're starting to make $6,000 extra every 4 weeks. How is that going to change your life? $1,500 extra dollars every week of your life. How will your life differ? So I think if you start setting your why for tidbits like that, that gives you reasons to fight for it and put all your guts forth. Your big why is the big picture, unlimited income, unlimited resources. But get a why really clear for each one of the, because when you have a bad week or a bad business period and you want to give up, you know what? You just read your why. Why am I going after national director or executive director? Here's why, right? So you get real clarity and you'd never lose the why. Let the why, because this business is a business of ups and downs. People will start, people will stop. People you wanted desperately in your business won't sign up. People that you didn't want in your business get in your business and kind of become self-destructive and throw a lot of, like, there are tornadoes. You get some tornadoes in your business. All of these things I guarantee you will happen because we're dealing with people, and people are all different. But the beauty of it is that if you have your why so grounded, all of that doesn't matter because you're going to be so directed to accomplish your results. You're going to be tracking your results. You're going to be doing what it takes. You're going to be adding 2 to 3 new people every day to your contact list. You're going to be STP 15 times a month. You're going to be doing what it takes to build this business, no matter what, letting nothing get in the way. Nothing will stop you, right? So why? Critical. So you need to do that. Number one, that's a core principle to building a duplicatable. And if you don't do it with your people, they're not going to do it with their people. And you lose it. It dissipates, right? Number two, give them a blueprint for launching their business. He kind of called it the Start Right program. And we desperately need this. In fact, I wanted to tell you guys that Manatech's in the process of preparing one. It's kind of a getting started booklet. We've had some in the past, and they've been sprinkled in and out. But they seem to be tied a lot to new products that come out instead of just a core basic getting started booklet. And so we should be seeing that in the next 30 to 60 days. I'm hearing that it's close to, you know, a certain print stage. So it's exciting to me that we're going to have this. I have one already because I built it because Manatech didn't have one that I felt, I mean, it kept changing, so I built one on my own website. but and Wendy Kramer's got some things on her website. So it's, you know, we each have it, but it's really important that we focus on people, on building these skill sets, the right mindsets, credibility, all these things. We want a getting started program so that we don't send our people out there talking about Manitech without really understanding what to say to people. That's why I do so many three-way calls with my brand-new builders so that they can get the hang of it. You know, one of my fastest-growing builders is a millennial right now, and he did about, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 three-way calls with me, and last month he signed up 7 people. He was my top enroller, or 8 people, I think it was last month, top enroller. He just started at the, I think it was in June sometime he started. So he's really getting it. You know, it's really growing with him. But we need to have a way to empower these people and teach and train them how to launch their business. And scripts are critical for people as well. I used to be anti-script, but now I'm a script queen. I have scripts posted all over my webpage because I believe it helps people to have scripts. I think scripting, even scripting and how you break the ice with people is very good, because as they go through their warm list, when that's done, they've got to go out and do prospecting of people they don't know, and they need scripts to help break that ice, because most people aren't natural, you know, communicators. They're not just, they just, like, I feel I am, because I love to talk to anybody. If I look at somebody and make eye contact, I'm in a conversation with you, right? So, because I just feel that there's that calling there. But we need to help people. A blueprint for launching their business, and scripts are available and all these kind of things. And I can't wait till Manitech's program comes out to help you. So, but you have to have that. If you're signing up new people, you can't just say, okay, go out and do something. You know, I have a getting started little checklist for everybody, because that's critical. I want to make sure they have all their things ducks in a row, all their information is outlined, they're on automatic order, they're doing the right things, they're signed up, they reviewed the Manitech website, so they understand that somewhat, all these things I want, you know, in place, and reading books and getting some exposure, all that's important. Number 3 is help them master a word-for-word customer acquisition program and referral system. Absolutely want to do this. This is a crucial part of us keeping our network marketing status. Remember, we talked 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Vima lawsuit. By the way, they did file a continuance on it. And it's going to court the 15th tomorrow. It's the first court hearing. But and they did file a request to release the funds, because I told you they tied up all their assets. Well, they didn't. The court said no, not till we have the hearing. So the assets have still continuously been tied up in Vima. But anyway, but one of the big issues in that, the reason I brought up the lawsuit, because it's current, it's pending, it's our industry, and we don't want to, you know, we want good things to happen in our industry because it's a reflection of all the companies in our industry. But one of the big issues was they weren't promoting customer acquisition programs. They were only after selling the big pack and getting people in, you know, buy all this product, tons of product up front, and that's what kills the whole concept. That's what makes it look more like a pyramid scheme than it is people really interested in products. I don't go after consumers per se. I typically lead with the business opportunity, but my approach is really a listener. I'm a listener. For the most part, when I meet people, I listen to what their needs are, and then I apply something to solve their problem. And if they have health issues, I go, wow. You know, I came across this breakthrough technology years ago, and it's made a total difference in my family's life. It's one of the reasons that, you know, I went and had a 3D scan done, galvanic scan done on my entire body, all my lymph nodes, all my glands, all my arteries, my heart, my brain. And the woman looked at the end, the doctor looked at me, and she goes, you have the body of a 19-year-old. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. I mean, that's a cool thing at almost 61. So, but I like to tell people that story because that's impactful, right? It's a story. But it's important that we listen to people, find out if it's health. And if it's health, then we want to be able to have a customer acquisition program. How do I acquire customers? How do I get them started? You know, and scripts are important with that as well. Referrals are hugely important in our business. I don't think Manitech puts a big enough emphasis on referrals. It should be constant. Every single person in your organization. You can build the presidential. You could sign up probably 4 to 6 to 10 people and build the presidential just on referrals. Really. In fact, there's some people, somebody told me that Jeff Allen only signed up 19 people or something, and he became a platinum presidential. I don't know if that's true. It's hard for me to believe. I know I've done many more than 19. In fact, I've already surpassed that in the last few months. But the idea is that, you know, we don't have to be constantly, like, you know, you can be in the, if you're in the constant realm of building referral business, you're also going to be an enroller of the referrals probably, because if you do all the work, that's my personal philosophy about the business. If you're doing all the work, you deserve the enroller bonus. But you love referrals because you'll help people build their organizations. But the idea is build a program around it so people know how to do it. How do you get referrals? There's plenty of great referral information out there. Bob Berg did great pieces on this as well, and I know I have a lot of trainings I've done on building referral business. But you need a plan, and you need scripts on helping people build consumer business along with referrals, how to get referrals from them. Number four is help them master a word-for-word two-step recruiting process with scripts. And the reason you want to have scripts here is because the number one mistake make in the industry when they're new is they talk too much. But Dale laughed, too. He said the number one mistake they make today is they still talk too much. And that should be really evident to you if you find yourself talking too much. I tell my people, I go, you know, if you find yourself out there, because this is a learning process to stop talking and be a great listener. And the only way you can do that is by just asking questions. And we've talked about FORM a million times on trainings and coaching calls and whatever. But it is a great thing if you focus on form and you stay with that. You know, soon it just becomes second nature to you. You don't even have to think about it. But until it becomes second nature, you focus on form. I tend to focus on the questions I ask and what they answer, and I pursue the answers that they give me. It leads me to more questions, right? So you can carry on a conversation for an hour without ever saying much about yourself, just asking questions and finding out more about the person. But you want to do that. You're constantly in that process. But again, if you're asking questions, you're not going to be talking too much because the other person is going to be consistently giving you answers, which puts them on the hot box. Not you, and not on the hot box that it's, you know, a big problem, but on the hot box from a perspective of you're doing the learning. And it's that discovery process that allows you to meet their needs. So you want to make sure that you limit the amount of talking that you do. And the other major concept behind this whole thing is let the materials do the talking. I don't like to talk about blue balls on the cell surface and science, like about all that intricacies of the science. I want the materials to do that today. And yes, I know it, and why did I talk about it for so many years if I didn't want to talk? Well, because I wanted to sound so smart. I think it's our ego that gets in the way. We're so brilliant. We think, oh, my gosh, if I flood them with all this information, surely they're going to sign up. And you know what? That's false. Surely they're going to be buried under data. And most people don't care about those things. Most people don't care about all that massive. They care more about your story, how it's helped you, how it's helped change your health with being compliant, how it's changed your life. That's what people get sold on, life stories. And if you don't have one, grab somebody else's. Everyone on this call, you could grab Mary Jo's story, right? I mean, that's a story. You can grab, you know, there are plenty of people out there. There's hundreds of people that have had phenomenal experiences. You've got many of them in your own organization. If you're brand new, find people. Talk to them about why they're involved in Manatech, what happened in their lives. Again, staying compliant, but build a story. And that's another thing we have to become very good at, is helping our downline master their stories. Because, again, the number one mistake people make in telling their story is the same as I put in the outline. They talk too much. They go on and on and on, and they give all this extraneous data. Especially, I find this so true with people who are analysts in my organization, because they feel like they can't leave out any facts. Just asking my husband, a classic case of this, my husband got in a car accident last week. It was one of those, he was stopped on the freeway and two cars behind him, the guy forgot to put on his brakes and rammed, and it all like an accordion. So anyway, so I get a call from the insurance, because I take the car, I give him my car, and I'm taking care of his car in the meantime, and Lydia's become my private driver to a greater extent than usual. But anyway, so we're going through this experience, just asking him a question about, you know, what the insurance guy said to him. he went on for about 10 minutes. No kidding, 10 minutes. And I sat there and I was like, I left the conversation about a minute and a half into it. Because he was giving me every bloody detail about, and I kept thinking, this is why you never need to be in my network marketing business. You know, I mean, it was like, I would think, I don't think I can transform this guy, right? I mean, it was really an amazing, you know, just the awareness around it. That, but you want to be concise. You want to get to the point. You want to stay with the heart issues. The important issues, the things that you know people want to hear about, not the extraneous facts. They might be facts that stay in your brain, but that's why you need to get help. Get write out your story and ask some people to help you redraft it and fine-tune it so it really is something that becomes a story you can be passionate about and other people can go, wow, tell me more. I want to know more about that. So, okay, so get the story down. But master a recruiting process with scripts. Yeah, you know, if people don't have scripts, you know, if they get out there and they just run with a racehorse, you know, 72 hours later they're quit. They're emotionally drained because they're getting so many no's and they just can't stand the lack of responsiveness because they were never properly trained. They weren't given the scripts or gone through some training, and you can do that one-on-one with them. You can practice. There's so many ways to do it. You should have all these sessions with people that are brand new so they don't make silly mistakes. Keep away from the silly mistakes, right, so you don't lose them. Some people are self-starters, and they're just going to take off, and some of them are going to do well because maybe they have some experience, but they still need training. There's not a person out there that doesn't need training, and the reason for that is that each business is different. And a lot of the training that goes on in network marketing isn't the best in other companies, so I highly advise you not, when they tell you they've already been trained somewhere else, don't accept that. Sit down with them and work with them through what they learn, what they know, how they would do it. Do some mock presentations, styles, everything to help them so they know how to recruit. And number five, teach them closure, right? How closing techniques, proven retention programs as well. Closing is crucial. It's one of our four core principles, how to close. There are many, many different ways you can choose to close, but the idea is how do you close? You got to target, you know, what the people said, and even talking about, you know, I did a training this weekend about getting people on automatic order, and one of the things that, it was a four-step process of guaranteeing every single person you talk to will get on auto order. Is that something important for all of your businesses? Absolutely. Do you have a four-step process of guaranteeing automatic orders? I don't know. If you don't, you should listen to the Saturday training. That was one of the segments I did. But it's really critical that you have that, and it's about closure. That's closing as well. And when somebody looks at me and they say, I don't want to be on automatic order, I go, well, John, please. We talked for, you know, we've been talking about this for a week or three times. You've looked at all the materials. Am I reading you wrong? I thought you were really serious about supporting your health. That's my first question I ask. Because when they say they don't want to be on automatic order, that's what they're telling you. So you want to ask that question. It's not being obnoxious. It's just bringing that up as a concept. And then when they say, well, yeah, I'm serious, and I go, well, great, then, you know, what do you think about water? I said, if you start drinking water and you drink more water for 30 days, you think it's going to change your life? I said, but if you drink more water and replace your other beverages with water, good water, for a period of 3 to 6 months, now I'm going to tell you, you're going to see a difference, aren't you? And he goes, yeah. And I go, right. And then I go into the 100% money-back guarantee as well as and I talk about, why would you ever leave 20%? I said, do you waste money in your life? I mean, if you could buy something for $80 or $100, what would you choose? Exact same product. And they'll go, well, of course I buy it for $80. I go, great. So then you get on automatic order because you have a 20% customer loyalty credits. It makes no sense. And on top of that, you have 100% money-back guarantee. So you guys have all these tools out there to use, but you've got, that's part of closure. The same thing is about closing somebody on the deal. When you're on the phone with somebody or you're meeting with them and they go, well, and they start hemming and hawing, you go, well, you know, you've got to have a mechanism that you're using to close the person. You don't say, oh, do you need more information? No. You bring back things they told you and say, now, Sarah, let's review what we just went over. And you go step by step and just outline the points. Is this not where you are? is, isn't this what you want? Did you know, you said you really enjoyed the information. So what's holding you back? You know, you really go right in the face of it. But you support them, again, getting, that's how I do it, but again, everybody has different closing techniques, but you want to go back, take their language, not your language, their language, why they need the products, why they need this business, what are they looking for in life. John, didn't you just tell me you want to rebuild your kids' college education funds? What's your alternative? It's why I like the Transform Your Lifestyle brochure. I love to flip it over and go, now how are you going to become financially free with what you're doing in your job? Let's look at that. And I draw that picture out on the backside. Yeah, fun stuff. You know, but it's getting back to the core of what they're looking for and using their language to close them. That's what I love to do. But it's critical. You've got to, you know, and everybody that gets involved in this business is going to go through a period of time where they have a slump or something. You've got to be there. You want to be there because they're going to, retention's going to be an issue. You also want to help them build a good retention program. You know, be in their face, be with them, help them, and that retention program is equally, you know, necessary. We have customer retention program built. We have a 4-step process of, you know, calling people the first month and making sure that people are doing that, because you can't just sign somebody up, put them on products and let them go, because you know what? They're going to let you go and they're going to quit. I guarantee it. You cared a lot about them when you signed them up, but all of a sudden you quit caring about them. Really? Right? You follow? So you got to be all over it. And you don't let somebody just quit without calling them back. A lot of people stop taking the products and they forget. You know, or they just try and they go, well, remember when we talked about 3 to 6 months, that was your commitment, you know, and you get them back on track. But you're afraid to do that because, oh, man, they didn't like it. They don't. You make all these assumptions. Oh, please. So you need to be part and parcel of that. You need that retention program has to be huge in your organization. Otherwise, you're going to just be, what, on that vicious cycle. You're just on a vicious cycle. Sign them up, lose them, sign them up, lose. Wow, I take pride. In fact, I have people in my organization today that signed up with me 19 years ago, and they're not business builders. Every single business builder I have in my organization, I didn't know when I started doing network marketing. I did not know them. That's how bad I was in my early stages. No, I'm kidding. I wasn't very good. But I grew. So, and we all grow. And I keep growing because I keep learning every day. But I appreciate all you guys. And hopefully these 5 steps really helped you, as well, core steps, as well as the beginning introduction. I think Dale did a great job of just giving us some great insight into where we might be and what's causing us to stay stuck or be stuck in our network marketing business when it is one of the greatest industries out there today. I think it's the best method of distribution that we have for any product because it helps reduce cost and it helps pay the people that are actually doing all the work. What a blessing that is. And leverage is where we want to be, first and foremost, leverage. The only way you're going to get financial freedom is through leverage. The job, if you're going after a job for financial freedom, you're going to be 1 out of 100 that achieve it, or maybe 3 out of 100. But if you do it through this model has created more millionaires than any other model out there. So I suggest network marketing. Yeah. Okay, that's it. That's all I have for today. Any questions or comments? Anyone have any of these principles or concepts hit you home run balls for you today? Or do we have a quiet group back from holiday, hangover holiday? We're still in Labor Day weekend. No. Anyone?
Hey, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
I wonder if you had, you know, what you were talking about in terms of using Transform Your Life brochure, I thought was really curious or fascinating, because having that, that's really where the close begins. You know, that,
correct.
That, you know, we're recapping, we're talking about this. What do you tend to write on the back of the brochure as you're doing that?
Great, thanks. Thanks for the question. Absolutely. In fact, I did this in my, you know, some of you may have seen the video that Manatech took of me just recapping the brochure.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
did one, and I did this whole with what I write on the back, and they go, oh, no, we can't do that. I don't know. Al Ball is going, yes, we can and we must, you know, but I don't know whether legal or what. I don't have any clue, but I didn't see anything illegal about it whatsoever, so I do it all the time. But this is what I write on the back side. I flip it over because I ask the question. I go, so how do you see yourself reaching financial freedom in your life? Right now you have a job, right? And because that's typical. So I write the word job down as I do it with a long way, not, you know, top to bottom, but across. And I write the word job, and then I draw an arrow, and I said job gives you what? Income. So I write income. You get a salary. And from your salary, what do you have to pay? Well, first you pay, you know, Uncle Sam taxes. They got to strip out all those taxes. And then you get net, right? And they look at me and they go, yeah. And I said, so this is how you're going to get financial freedom. So let's just take your net and say, we're going to invest that in a vehicle. And obviously you're not going to put it in a bank account because that doesn't even pay 1% today. So let's say you find a really good investment vehicle that has like a 5% guarantee return, 5%, because you don't want to get too risky with it, right? Okay, 5% return. So then I put over here, I put the title investment with a line underneath it as a title, and I put return, annual return, okay? So I said, how much do you have to save after taxes, after all your personal expenses? How much would you have to put in your investment vehicle to bring you an additional $100 a month? And they look at me, and they don't know because they can't do the math that fast. Do you know what it is? I go, it's $24,000. So $24,000 for you to make an extra $100 a month on an investment vehicle paying 5%. I said, we help people get there like in their first 4 weeks of doing this business to get to regional director status. And I said, and then what if you wanted to make an extra $1,000 a month? How much would you have to invest in your investment vehicle at 5%? And they look at you, and some of them can't even figure this one out, Michael, even though it's just a decimal point, right? And I go, $240,000. I say, and I don't, I go, I write down, two. I said, almost a quarter of $1 million. After taxes, after personal expenses, you'd have to invest that much in a 5% return to make yourself $1,000 extra. And then in the right column, I put $1,000 across it, monthly income. I said, we have a program that after 4 months, our goal is to get you to national director status. I said, I don't know. Is it going to take you more than 4 months to get $250,000 saved after taxes? And they start laughing because they look at me like they think they're insane now. It's funny, but it works because people really have that perspective. They somehow think, I have a job, it's paying good money, I can cover my expenses, and I'm saving a little bit, and I'm just like looking at them thinking, oh, you poor soul. Right? How are you going to save $250,000? Not at the job, but you have this incredible vehicle just reaching our national director level, and then you want to get to executive director, you know, and you double that, that's $500,000 in your bank account. You get to presidential, oh my gosh, it's times three, so now you have $1.5 million in a bank account to make what you make it. I said, really? I said, it took me 2 years to get the presidential director. I said, so that means I would have had to save $1.5 million after taxes from a job. And I didn't have a job that was even paying me $1.5 million in 2 years to start with. So after taxes, I went ahead of, you know. So it paints a reality picture for people. And so that's kind of the approach I take.
Did you continue that same analogy through presidential, or did you stop at national?
I stop at national.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't usually go beyond that.
Yeah. That's good. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's just a soft touch. If you happen to be presidential director, you could talk about it, you know, from your own personal perspective.
Right.
But I don't know. I think I try to keep it quantifiable, that's people believable and quantifiable. And
yeah.
I think that that's what that is. When you start getting into $3 million and making, you know, $10,000 a month, a lot of people, you know, that sometimes gets a little over their head,
yeah.
You know, for... And this works very well with millennials as well, because most of them have student loans coming due. I mean, they're the most heavily student loan laden group of people on the face of our earth ever. And if they can see that they can make an extra $1,000 in 4 or 5 months so that they can start using Manatech to pay off their student loans, oh, it's like a slam dunk.
Yeah, I like to do the attainable first, because I know Ray uses a you know, how do you get, you know, how do you save $1 million in order at 1% to get, you know, that kind of stuff, which is it's too mind-boggling to
start. That's too mind-boggling because it's too much of a chart. This is really real life.
Yeah.
Because you're tying it directly to what they're doing in their life, which is a job, and you're just showing them after taxes, after the. I mean, so it's really a blueprint of their life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah.
You know,
most people,
talk about step by step. That's a good example of the kind of a training tool that needs to be really just black and white. Here's an example of what you put out there. You know, and whether or not the attorneys want to do that with Manatech is irrelevant. We should put it up, you know, somewhere.
I agree.
Can say, here's what you need.
Well, so. I totally agree. I think it's something that, because it's so, you know, and why are some people going to take that trifold and be totally effective with it, and other people will not use it at all because they don't know how to use it. They don't have the how-tos, and the how-tos are really important as well.
Yeah.
And I think
Mary Jo, would you be willing to make a video, like maybe with Lydia, one of your, and post it on your website? Because that was awesome.
Sure.
I agree. The simplicity of that and it not being numbers that are so mind-boggling, but really, really down-to-earth, like where somebody's going to sit there and go, almost like, wow, I'd be stupid not to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The conclusion they have to reach. So
yeah,
if you'd be willing to do, that'd be awesome.
I absolutely would do one. I'll absolutely do one. I promise.
In fact,
I'll go through the whole brochure. What I was thinking about doing that is doing like a mock one-on-one with that trifold.
Oh,
I think
perfect.
It would, and
oh,
I'll do it,
awesome.
And yeah, and then I'll try to run it through. I'll do it for you guys, but I'll try to run it through compliance as well. And if I have to redo it or do, you know, let them do what they want to do. Maybe I'll draft the script first and give it to them and say, okay, here's your script. You guys tell me what you want or don't. Yeah, blah blah blah. But I tend to want to do it and bear the brunt of the punishment later. Because it's a little overwhelming going through compliance sometimes, but
easier to beg forgiveness. Yes, got it.
Exactly. You got it, Michael. You know exactly. Right.
Hey, Mary Jo, I was walking while I was listening to the call, and I'll re-listen to the call. But what's the name of the man you're talking about? Earl. What was his last name?
Nightingale. Earl Nightingale.
Okay.
Nightingale. Yes, absolutely.
I want to look it up. And
And he's kind of
couldn't write it down. So,
yeah,
great.
You're right. Yeah, it's the strangest secret, best motivational video on the net.
Okay.
And you just look that up. Just look it on YouTube. And I'm telling you, I mean, his voice is kind of dry and slow, but, I mean, that kind of information, I would put it on a, you know, and listen to it, feed it. If you listen to that every day for 2 weeks, I guarantee it will change your life. I mean, really,
okay,
it's
that
impactful.
So.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Good. You bet.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Did you say that Manatech was finally going to come out with a basic how-to, you know, like if I walked in to Manatech today, this is what I would do?
Absolutely. Yep, a getting started manual. Now, and we've had them in the past, as Michael will share with you, too. I mean, we've seen them before, but Manatech in the past, many times they've tied them to product offerings and things like that, so they tend to change. And this business is this business. I mean, there are certain things you do, and you just, for everyone getting started. Yes, so you're going to see a new, and we had it with the Navigate system. Remember that Navigate, for some of you who have been around, we had the business plotter that was like 80 pages long or something. It was overwhelming.
I never did understand.
Right. This one, because they tried to draw the analogy of being on a compass or something, and you know, we just need it black and white, you know, step by step. And it's going to be, I believe it's going to be wonderful. And my rumor has it that it's I'm not even sure if I'm breaching confidentiality. I don't think so. Michael would probably tell me to be quiet, but rumor has it that it's coming out in the next 30 days or so. So,
well, one of the things I do remember that, and this is many, many years ago, that if a person joined Amway, they had to purchase all of the success video cassettes that they listened to.
Right.
That they had to. That was an obligation, and they had to pay for
it. It was mandatory. Right.
And it was all of these people that had a tremendous success.
Right.
So their credibility was there, and there was I don't know how many of these little, and it was done in a plastic thing, because I remember seeing it.
Yep.
That somebody said, well, I had to invest in this.
You
know, and it was all the success stuff that they had to listen to. It wasn't leadership. It was success. This person, this person, this person. Like you say, Ogmandino, Earl Nightingale, all the top.
Jim Rohn, Napoleon Hill, all the famous, all the great.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so
you know what? And you know what? And Michael's on the phone. He was in Amway. I'm sure he'll say exclamation mark after this. It's the number one reason why Amway's been so successful. Year in after year. Number one reason.
Yeah. They have the best leadership training in the business. That's true.
Right. They do. So why can't we try to mimic that?
Right. So if we go back,
this is an idea, just a thought process, right?
Well, it's back to basics.
I know. It is. It's really about just feeding people.
That have never, ever felt like they could do the business.
Right. And you'll build your belief system.
I don't need 10,000 things, but if I could do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, and that's really what this business is. It is easy. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, but it's really hard if you don't get 1, 2, 3 down.
Exactly.
And
that's
what happens.
Exactly.
That's why I look at some of the, you know, failure rate out there and I go, this should never be happening. But now some people are just uneducable. They're not going to want to be open to learn and change and shift. I would have failed. I would have been a classic fallout of network marketing because as a lawyer coming into this business, my thinking process wasn't there. I was way too analytical. I was way too, you know, demanding, way too, you know, I didn't have the, I wasn't developed in the realm of interpersonal skills. In fact, that's still, you know, something I continue to work on. But it has changed dramatically from when I first got started. And that's what this business is about. It's about growing yourself. And if you're not willing to grow yourself.
But we don't have the system
that
can put all the pieces together for
us. Well, all I can tell you is we got a real strong commitment from management today to make all that happen. And so,
Thank goodness.
Powerful advisory council. So I think that you're going to see some great shifts in the next, 12 months across the board that really support you in the field in a huge way, which is great.
Tell Mr. Bala that we need them now.
Okay, I'll tell him we are impatient and I'll get out.
We are
and he'll
impatient.
Say, you know, patience is a virtue, Mary Jo.
Now. No, we need them now.
I get. I'll let him know. You bet. Thank you, guys. Anything else? Any last-minute comments?
Oh, yes. You talked about you did a Saturday training. How did I find that?
You can find it on manatechlive.com. They post the Saturday trainings. So
Saturday
just look at for
training.
Saturday training. Yeah, we do a monthly Saturday training, and we do it we always broadcast it live and tape it from Manatech headquarters. So you can look up
on
that.
For live, I didn't mean to interrupt, but is it live? Do you go to the Manatech Live?
That's the website, manatechlive.com. Where you'll find, just like for Tuesday Night Live, every other Tuesday night we have the Tuesday Night Live presentation.
Right.
You can watch it live if you want to watch it, or you can go back and listen to any of the ones that were done in the past. So you can look up for this past Saturday, it would be, Saturday the 12th or something? Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday the 12th. Yeah, look for that training, and you can pop it up
there. There's the replay. Okay, thank you, dear.
I'll replay. You bet. All right. All right, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week. Let's go out there and make things happen. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
You bet, Mike.